Welcome to Agent's Dossier, a Delta Green actual play series brought to you by 12 Sided Stories. And now your GM, Wes Otis.
Welcome to Agent's Dossier, episode number 15. Let's meet our players. We will start with Saint.
Hello, I'm Saint, or Saint Spider, and I will be playing Norman Morales, our resident NSA technician.
Hey, I'm Michelle Otis, and I will be playing Perla Ayala, a forensic anthropologist.
Hi, y'all. Jay Holtham here. I am playing Mars Paulson, and I punch things.
Hi, I'm Pooja, and I'm playing Robin Porter, physician extraordinaire.
Hey guys, I'm playing Desiree Kimball, and I like breaking into things.
Speaking of breaking in, so last game you guys got together and you pooled all of your information and you decided to check out the anthropology angle of the cube as well as check out the tire factory, the old tire factory, to find out if there were any clues or any way to learn how often they were delivering these chemicals. You know, you spoke about Edna Bay. So you're checking out the tire factory and you're checking out the cube. You had kind of come across, you know, talked about the fact that they say they want to destroy the cube, but they also need to move the cube to avoid a possible catastrophe in the middle of the city. So there's some debate on whether or not that's an actual worry or if they want to use it for something more government sinister-like. Norman, Mars, and Desiree were together at a Motel 6 where they're using that as their base. They found out that they were being followed by some people from the NSA, specifically Shelley Bain, who is Norman's direct supervisor, had rented a van and parked it across the street. At the end of that game, let me jump back just a little bit further to the history part. Robin and Perla went to find out what information they could about the cube, if there was any other historic record, and they found a group from England had come over with a bone cube, but it was not the same size. It seemed to be made of maybe dog and cat bones, and it had a symbol, kind of a druidic symbol of a tree. They're guessing, though, because the historical record's a little thin, because it was from the 1600s. At the end of the last episode, Desiree and Mars decided to be very direct and walked across the street and knocked on the window of the van. And two people got out, a man and a woman. They said, "We're just here thinking about checking in." They have gone to the front office to check in, leaving the van behind. And that's where we're picking it up.
Fabulous. I would like to break into this van.
Okay. Go ahead and give me a... What would be a good...
I have locksmithing under my craft.
That sounds perfect.
There you go.
All right. Let's see if my dice don't botch my roll, though. Oh, I got a 2.
Wow.
Under my 60.
Yeah. What particular door are you opening?
I'm going to the back door. I'm imagining it's got like the double doors that you open up. That's where I am, and I'm figuring it's also harder for them to see from the manager's office.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you swing open the doors, and sure enough, there's a couple of milk crates with pillows on top of them that they're using as seats, and some surveillance gear crammed into the back of this thing. It looks like listening devices and also other things that seem like they were planning on sneaking some of this stuff at least closer to your room. You do know that listening devices have come a long way. They can literally listen to what you're saying in the room from where they're at. All they have to do is set up a transmitter anywhere near your room and they can pick up a large area. And they've got cameras and everything positioned on the Motel 6.
Great. So they're definitely here for us.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I was willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, but doubt has been assuaged. Are there any documents or anything loose that I can rifle through?
With a two, yes.
Okay.
Do you want a rifle or do you want to just straight up steal or take pictures of with your phone? Because you're not going to have that much time to really study them.
Yeah. And I think taking pictures of my phone is also going to be time intensive. So I think I'm just going to take their documents.
Mm-hmm.
So you grab the documents, you close the door. Where do you two go after that?
I mean, I'm following Desiree's lead here. I'm keeping an eye out for them.
Okay, so your lookout.
And we're close, you said, to the oddball bar.
Yeah, that whole area is relatively kind of centralized. So you're walking distance to the bar and the tire factory.
All right, well, they're definitely watching us. I think maybe we head to the bar and look over some of these documents because there may be some information that we need before we investigate the tire factory.
Works for me.
And what we could say is the doctors will meet up with you there or something like that.
Yeah, okay. We can text them or whatever, let them know where we're going.
Right.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan.
Okay, so you guys meet up, the four of you, and I believe that you would probably text Norman and let him know what's going on because he's back at the hotel and they're going to find that some of their documents are missing. And you get to the bar and you're looking through these documents and basically it's kind of similar to the information that you guys already had. They're definitely interested in why this company is putting money into these chemicals, and it's been tagged as a possible problem for national security.
Well, you know, as they say, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah. I mean, we should probably, I don't know, maybe we should make friends with them?
They're going to tap into everything that we have to say anyway. We might as well make sure that they know that we're here, and maybe they've got some resources that we could use.
Yeah.
What about Robin and Perla? What is your opinion on this?
And I think that's the only way we can go, to be honest, because they are going to hear everything anyway, and they need to know that we're on the same side here.
Yeah, if they really are on the same side.
Well, yeah, we don't even know who them or they were in that note.
Yeah.
Not to mention, I mean, the government is full of the left hand knoweth not what the right hand is doing.
Yeah,
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, but maybe we can use them to our ends.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I think if we lead them in a direction, then it's possible that they'll just end up with bigger fish to fry.
Correct, because Norman was able to kind of cover up some of the information because obviously the project doesn't want NSA really involved in the supernatural part of everything because that's a whole different level of problems. So Norman separated that information when he took a look at it from everything and was able to kind of keep out the fact that there was the catastrophe at Edna Bay. They know chemicals are coming in, but they don't know what those chemicals are.
Oh, we don't know what those chemicals are.
You guys don't know, but you know that they're going to the tire factory, whereas he made it so that it just seems like the chemicals are coming into Charlottesville, not necessarily to
a specific location.
Yeah.
I will also say that Majestic being involved is a red flag as to involving any other government agencies in what we're doing.
They don't have any idea about any of Majestic stuff, so that was only something that came up during yours.
Yeah, I'm a little lost on Majestic.
Okay, well, I am telling you now, Majestic is some bad news.
What is Majestic?
In the 90s, there was the Majestic 12, and they infiltrated the U.S. government, and it was one of Delta Green's takedowns. They managed to, I guess they thought they did, took out the Majestic 12 and got rid of them from the U.S. government.
What were they gonna do?
They were manipulating the government to whatever their own ends were. Supernatural beings. I mean, I'm just telling you what I know, what I was briefed on when it comes to that.
Okay.
I'm not sure they would have even told me that much had I not been so nosy.
Okay.
But I do know that if Majestic is there, then it means Delta Green failed in the 90s.
Interesting.
All right. This is all okay.
So are we going to approach the NSA people or not?
I don't think that it's a good idea to try to go make nice with the NSA. Personally, I don't have a good track record with the clandestine government agencies.
Norman, can you do anything to throw them off our scent? Gin up an order or a requisition or something, sending them to, I don't know, somewhere else?
I can definitely take a look into it. I don't want to let them know that I know exactly what they seem to know, but I can definitely make it look like something else.
Well, just so you guys know, they are going to know that those documents are gone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, they saw us. Like, we're pretty well blown here, but it's a question of whether or not we want to just put them off our scent, because I'm assuming that they were assigned to us.
Right. I did not reveal everything about the Edna Park situation, right, in my intro, right?
Yeah, the NSA only knows that there was a picture that came in that caused a crash of the servers.
So I sent them the virus, right?
Right, you sent them the virus. They have not seen the pictures. They also only know that there is a chemical of some sort that caused a environmental spill or something like that. You basically covered it up the best you could, but left enough information in there that once you kind of went on your own way, they are following up to making sure that you're doing what you say you're doing.
Right. I'm not pulling a Snowden or anything.
Right. Exactly.
Or they might want to make sure he didn't send the virus on purpose.
Yeah. I think also the second part of that was that it was from a phone that I wrote down was in Oregon. Did I write that down wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was in Oregon.
That was correct. Portland. Yes. Portland, Oregon. It was just a phone that was pinging Portland, Oregon. And I could send them in that direction and reveal the actual thinking, okay, I sent them the virus. They didn't see the photos. I sent them, like, what did I already tell them? I want to throw them there. I want to throw them in that direction, maybe drop or mislead a GPS point or something like that.
All right, so let's do the computer roll.
Okay. Okay, I got an 8 out of...
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, you're able to send some more data in that gives them a point in Portland, Oregon to check out.
Yeah, how about Mount Hood?
Okay.
It's a small area.
Yeah, you're able to send that out, and we'll see how successful that is. I guess the next step is watching the tire factory and seeing what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Are all 5 of you going to be doing this, or is Norman going to stay at his base?
Yeah, I feel like if I'm near a computer, I'm the most powerful.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps we set up communication either.
You're probably texting over burner phones or whatever, yeah. Simple text.
Got a nice group chat going.
You have a MySpace account that you're doing a forum on. Since it's old tech, no one thinks about it.
Yes. Oh, I love it.
The rest of you then, the other 4, how do you guys want to approach this?
Well, first I'm going to go up to the bartender and talk him out of a bottle of whiskey to take back to the room with us.
That's easy enough.
And then I guess head back to the hotel.
Okay. Are all 4 of you going to be working on the detail of watching this place? Like, are you going to have 2 people in the back and 2 people in the front, basically?
Yeah, that makes the most sense. I mean, we're not infiltrating.
No, we're right. just scoping.
Are you sure? I mean, the infiltrating went so well in the past. I'm sure it'll go well this time.
Nope.
Okay.
Observe and report.
Sounds good. So you guys go back to the hotel, kind of get all your information, and let me see something. I will make a roll. Oh, okay. So sure enough, the van has disappeared. No longer there when you guys get back from the bar.
Okay.
Hopefully the lead that has been set has sent them far enough away for some time.
I'm retroactively wishing I had put a tracker on their car, like a GPS tracker. You can make those so cheap in real life.
You guys split up that night and you go to the tire factory. Who's going to be on the front entrance? Who's going to be on the back?
I'm thinking I would be posted up front entrance.
Okay. Robin, where will you be?
I will take the front with Desiree. See, it makes sense to have like one of us with physical skills and one of us without together, as opposed to.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes total sense because I have zero physical skills, so I'm with Mars.
All right, so Pearl and Mars on the back.
Yep.
All right, the four of you, I want you to roll a luck roll for me. You want to get under 50%.
Nope.
57.
49.
38.
Nice. Wow, nice. Okay.
Ooh, lucky.
I am owed.
Yeah, you really are. The last game of Parker was,
ooh, boy, that was a humdinger.
The first two rolls he got, and then he literally, I don't think he got another roll.
Nope.
Entire game.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I got shot almost to death in one hit.
Yeah. Gunfire in this game is no joke.
Like, if I took that hit on this character, I would die.
Yeah. We just blew the box every single time. Because it wasn't even, like, close. It was, like, real bad.
Yeah. Two of you made your luck roll. So you guys are watching. And a car drives up about midnight. It's a old Lincoln Continental. Just this boat of a car. Just huge. Probably from the early 80s. It does not have any tags on it. And this guy gets out of the car. He's like really uncomfortably tall and really uncomfortably skinny. Just kind of skeletal, I would say. And he is dressed head to toe. He's got on like a trench coat and a hat. He's got glasses on. He's covered up pretty well. And when he walks, it has a fluid look to it, almost like he's a wave. He's going in through the back. In the front, not long after he arrives, a large truck, I'm not going to say like a semi, but one of those really big U-Hauler Rider moving trucks shows up and pulls up to the front, and a guy jumps out and runs over and pushes in this button, and a side gate starts to open up for him to drive the truck into the building.
Can I get a closer look at the guy who went in the back?
Sure. Like I said, he's covered head to toe in cloth. Like, his face isn't being shown. He's got on a black trench coat and glasses. You can't make out any features. But, like I said, the way he's moving is kind of weird. It's not like a normal walk. It's, like I said, more fluid.
Can I see any patches of skin? Like, maybe on the side of his face or something?
No.
Okay.
And is he alone when he gets out? Like, he gets out of the car. It's not like he's being let in.
No, he's alone. It's just him. And he punches in a code. Why don't you guys give me another luck roll to see if you can figure out what the code is he punches in on the back door?
That one I blew.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Actually, did I?
Ooh, 13. Lucky 13.
Cool.
Nice.
All right. So, yeah, you are able to figure out the code that he presses in before he walks.
Is there any other security there? Is it just this door?
You do notice that there are cameras all around the perimeter of this place.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely security.
I want to get closer, but I'm worried about getting closer looking like just a civilian.
Do you want to be stealthy about it? That is your bag, as it were.
It is. I'm actually wondering if there isn't some way I can disguise myself a little bit, though.
You have disguise, correct?
I do.
So if you wanted to try, you could.
Yeah, I kind of want to. I want to see if I can, like, I don't know, go back towards the hotel real quick and see, like, sometimes people have, like, clotheslines and shit up, you know, and, like, pull stuff and try and look, like, hobo-esque. Derelict.
Yeah, you can do that. You could find that kind of stuff.
Do you want me to roll?
No, I'll make the roll.
Uh-oh.
So that whether or not you, we'll see. What's your percentage?
80.
Okay. All right. So you dress up and you scuff yourself up as best you can to look the part.
And I've got the whiskey in my hand because I'm sure they gave it to me in like a brown paper bag. And so I make sure I take like a big swig so that my breath smells like whiskey and stuff and just go toddling up towards this gate.
Cool. You're with Robin, correct?
Yeah.
So Robin, you watch Desiree go off after kind of making herself up to look like she's living in the area on the street. And when she gets up to the gate, you notice two of the cameras turn towards her. And then you hear a really high pitch whine that Desiree, you also hear as well. It's a little bit higher than the normal servo sound. And Robin, you notice that there is a really tiny red dot right on Desiree's back. You're looking at her. She has turned towards the street. That means whatever that red dot is coming from, a building that's nearby where you guys are held up watching.
Okay, can I pinpoint which building it's coming from?
Yes. It's literally the next building over, like, third floor up.
I'm gonna throw a rock down the street, like, skitter, like, a rock or a can or something to get Desiree, like, to grab her attention, get her to maybe move on.
Okay. Yeah, Desiree, you hear a very distinct sound of Robin is held up in. What do you want to do? And let's say you guys agreed on a call.
Caw-caw.
Yeah.
Up here. Up here. Look at me. Look at me. Up here.
Anyway.
Yeah. So I'm definitely going to take the hint, but I'm going to stay sort of in character, sort of swag and like screaming about the government, you know, injecting things into my brain or whatever. Crazy bullshit, and start wandering back towards Robin.
All right. So, yeah, as soon as you leave the area of the fence, you know, Robin, you hear the sound kind of die down and the cameras go back to their normal rotation.
I'm going to sling an arm around Robin like I've just, like, run into somebody randomly on the street and just be, like, up in her face kind of thing, but quietly be asking, like, what?
They have a sniper next building over, third floor up.
Interesting.
I'm assuming it's a sniper anyway.
Well, it's information we didn't have, so we should probably alert the others. You want to text them?
Sure. I don't think there'll be any gaining access through the front here. Not subterfuge anyway.
Fair enough.
All right. They send you guys a message.
Mm-hmm.
Mars. Mm-hmm. And Perla, you saw the code that got put in. You know that there's this huge Lincoln Continental sitting out there from probably the early 80s. And then the truck, if you guys wait long enough, the truck will just pull out at some point and go about its way. And, I mean, do you want to continue waiting? Do you just watch for a while? Or do you want to get out of there?
I mean, I think if they've got a sniper on the front, they probably have somebody watching the back.
Mm-hmm.
So we should probably get out of there. That's my opinion.
I think you should go. I'm going to stay a little while because I'm going to see that guy, see what happens when that guy comes out.
Okay.
I feel like with my dodge and stealth, I can stay hidden just to continue to observe.
Okay. You head back over to the hotel, Perla. Mars, you stick around. Desiree and Robin, what are you guys going to do?
Now, what kind of building was the sniper beam coming from?
A lot of these buildings around here are just abandoned factories and, like, machine shops and stuff.
Okay.
So it looks like they're set up in one of those.
Is it terrible that I want to go investigate?
That's exactly what a GM would want you to do, just to mess with you. So if you feel like you want, if you really want to see what's in that room, I can't stop you.
I think that once we interact with them, we've kind of blown our chance.
Just thinking, the gears are turning.
Yeah, I know.
it's like, Robin thinks that, like, if we're going to study and figure stuff out, let's study and figure stuff out. But if we put ourselves in another position where they know they're being surveilled, then we've ruined whatever good we found, like, out of coming here sneakily.
I think what I'd like to do then is gather more information rather than, like, trying to approach this person. Like, while we have everybody staking out the building, I want to kind of amble over and kind of, like, stake out the abandoned building as well, because I'm curious if there's, like, a rotation of people coming in.
Okay. Just stay in your hidden place and still watch the building for a while and get more information. Yeah. So basically what we'll do is we'll say that Mars is still in the back. Norman and Perla are back at the hotel, and you guys are watching the front and seeing if anyone comes in and out where this sniper might be. So, Mars, what exactly do you want to do before I do an info dump on what you're watching?
I mean, that's all. I'm found, like, a quiet, dark spot where I'm sort of crouched out of view, where it's hard for someone to sneak up on me, and I'm just keeping an eye on that Continental and that door to see what comes out.
Okay, so here's what basically happens. We'll say that you guys survey the place for the rest of the night. No one comes in and out of the building besides that one truck in the front. And no one comes in and out of what you guys are assuming is where the sniper is through the rest of the night. You don't see anybody, no movement at all. The cameras are on the entire time. Mars in the back, about 4 a.m, the man in the Lincoln Continental comes out and he gets back into the car and drives away. Again, he is moving oddly, but this time he's also carrying a different kind of briefcase. It's this almost a large piece of luggage, you know, one of the silver pieces of luggage that's probably made in a specific way so that it can't be penetrated by, like, x-ray and stuff like that. The end of the night comes, and that's basically the information that you get, so you can all kind of meet up back at the Motel 6.
And there are no plates on the car, no tags at all.
No.
Windows could I see them inside?
Yeah, you could see inside. They weren't tinted or anything like that.
And he was just driving.
Right. Your guess is that they picked up a clunker that possibly would come up if you could search the VIN number, it probably would come up as destroyed or no longer in service or whatever.
Right. But could I see his hands when he was driving? Like, was, like, what was there any other information I could glean about him, you know, since his face was all covered with cloth or whatever?
You couldn't make out any skin, but it almost looked like a bag of water walking, like,
okay,
all almost right, without bones kind
got
of thing.
It.
So, human water weenie.
Basically.
Yeah, that's
ugly bags of mostly water.
Ugly bags of mostly water.
Yeah. Not cool. All right, cool.
So that's what you gained from this first night of surveillance, and you guys are all back. We can say that you've rested up a little bit, and it's probably about midday, so you can decide what your next move is going to be.
My instinct is I wanted to actually see. I don't know how much you guys learned about Majestic when I had to dip for a second, so I wanted to see if there was any connection between the symbol that our lovely professor found and if any other organizations have picked up similar symbols, perhaps government organizations for some reason were sloppy about it. And then I also wanted to, if we can't do the make and model thing on the car, I wanted to, I guess, get the info about the cameras and, like, the weird sound that accompanied it and see if I can trawl my knowledge of either, I guess it could be a search thing, or it could also be electrician or mechanic thing if we wanted to make it a little more difficult.
We could say it's electrician, and what you don't have to roll for this. What you find out is on the electrician side, it is a closed system. It has its own power. It is not on the grid. It is being generated by someplace nearby. The frequency that they heard is something different than the frequency of the cameras. So your best guess is a turret of some sort, which would make sense on why nobody left the building the entire time you guys were there. It's because they had some kind of robotic situation going on with the turret. As for that symbol, it's a pretty standard occult symbol that's been around for a while. So it pops up a lot. It's used as an omen of protection. It's used as an omen of displeasure. It's kind of all over the map. But for this particular group, it was probably used to contact older gods, things that lived during the Druidic time in England. So that's what you gleaned from your information.
Okay. So I'll definitely pass along the turret info. It's like we are dealing with more technology than you would expect in a urban situation, especially. And I guess I just feel like I'm missing something here to look up.
Does anybody else have any questions?
I want to go back to the dig site.
Okay.
And I want to see if I see that symbol anywhere in the bones, in like in any rocks or trees nearby or anything.
Okay. So you go back and Agent Wells is there and they've dug down pretty deep. They've used a backhoe to get the outer casing done. And they're using high-pressure water hoses to get the dirt out in between the bones. As they're cleaning down... Oh, just so I know, where is everybody else? Does anyone else go with her, or...?
I'll go with, because I would like to see what this bone cube is all about, possibly. See if my medical background can shed any further light on anything.
All right, that sounds good.
I think I'm going to stay and stake out the area still. Like, I think I'm going to keep up the transience check and just meander around the area and just...
And if I can send them with a question of, like, looking into, have these bones been DNA tested? Can we find an electronic trail on that, perhaps?
They haven't been DNA tested. They've just been digging them out. They haven't done any tests like that.
Interesting.
Mars?
I'm just going to stay at the motel and just sort of keep an eye out here in case, you know, other vans come back or make sure no one else is watching us.
Okay, sounds good. So you guys are at the site. There are no more students at this point. Now it's all just professional, either agents or archaeologists that they've brought in under the payroll. And they're spraying out the mud in between the bones from the top down. And they're pretty much almost at the bottom. They're talking. Russ comes over to you at some point and goes, this has gone pretty well, pretty fast. We've been able to uncover a good chunk of this. And as soon as we're done getting all the dirt out from between the different bones, we're going to see about lifting this thing out of the crater and getting it out of town.
Any chance, before you get it out of town, of me just getting a small sample?
He looks visibly worried about that question, but then goes, you can get a sample of it. You just need to be careful of which lab you send it to.
Okay. If you have a particular lab you want me to use.
I do. I wouldn't want it sent to, like, the school lab or...
Right.
Someplace that would find information that we don't necessarily want in the public discourse as it was.
Right.
So he leaves. What are you doing, Robin? Why she's talking with Roos and getting this sample that she needs?
I'm going to kind of go around the edges and see if... I mean, they're using high-pressure washers.
Yeah.
And none of the bones are breaking apart?
Nope.
Like, this is not normal.
Completely.
Because you would expect, like, they've been buried, there'd be some decomposition, fragility of the bones.
Right.
That you would start to see chips.
Right.
None of that is happening, and that's very alarming.
As they're doing this, you notice that they're getting to the center of the cube, and there seems to be some kind of object lodged in the very center. And
what kind of object?
It looks like a silver sphere. in the center of the cube.
Okay, that's...
And they kind of, they all go, okay, halt, halt. We need to figure out what we're, before we spray that too much, we need to figure out what that is. And that's where we're going to stop this particular episode. So thank you guys so much for playing, and we hope that our Patreon supporters are enjoying our story of governmental espionage and supernatural goodness. We will be getting back to you soon, but just so we know where everybody is, let's find out where people can find our wonderful players. We'll start with Saint.
Hi, I'm Saint or Saint Spider, and you can find me on Twitter these days at Saint Spider TV, all one word. And you can also find me on Twitch occasionally at twitch.tv/Saint Spider, just all one word like that.
Hey guys, I have been and will continue to be Mac Beauvais, and you can find me everywhere as at Strange Like That. That's the Twitter, the Instagrams, and the Facebooks.
Hi, I'm Pooja. You can find me on Twitter at LADACIGirl. That's L-A-D-E-S-I girl. And pretty much everywhere else is Forgotten Saves.
Hi, y'all. Jay Holtham here. And you can find me on all of your various social outlets at Jay Holtham.
Hi, I'm Michelle Otis. And you can find me on the Twitter at Michulu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music through Plate Mail Games on DriveThruRPG and BattleBards.
And I am Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games. Thank you all for being awesome Patreon supporters and for listening to our show. We will talk at you real soon. Bye.